The following is episode 3 of the Father More podcast with myself, Armin, and my guest this week is none other than John Woolley. He is the guy behind Make Wads Great Again, a fantastic and hilarious meme page, as well as two of his own podcasts. He's got Kettlebells and Cocktails and Scale and Bale, both of which are hilarious, both of which are fantastic. You should definitely check them out. But my conversation with him had to do with the fact that he has two daughters, 18 and 20, and he has been divorced since they were 3 and 5. So 15 years of being a divorced dad and the interesting challenges that that brought to his life and the different changes that that brought to his life. We talked a lot about his relationship with his daughters, as well as how it developed over time with, you know, the way that he had to spend time with them being a divorced dad, the relationship he has with his ex-wife and her family, all positive, the various types of changes that happened in his life, his relationship with his dad, old Roy, who kind of helped shape his perspective on the way that he spends time with his daughters, the way that he shares interests with his daughters. Overall, it was just a fantastic conversation. I love getting to talk to John about all of these different things because honestly, it's a side of him that a lot of people I don't think have access to or have learned about. And I thought it was a great conversation. I think you guys are also going to find it to be a great conversation. And I hope you enjoy. Take care.
Can we talk about how cute Vellner's baby is?
Super cute. That little chunky ginger baby. Come on. Oh,
dude, that baby, every time I see a photo, I look at him and he always has this look on his face. Like he can't believe he got reincarnated into this family. You ever seen that? Like, he's just like, why am I here? He just has this look. He is so cute.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
He's adorable.
He kind of like, he put on the chunk in like the best places possible. He got those cheeks. He got the little, the wrist lines, the creases across the elbows. Yeah.
He looks like a little man. He looks like a little old ginger man. I love it. I love everything about that baby.
For a little while, we were saying, so my son, he just turned 2 months like earlier this week. So for a little while, for like the first like 7.5 weeks of his life, he basically looked like a miniature version of Katie's dad. Like we would just carry around this like 70-year-old or 80-year-old man in our arms all day. But he's just started to like really chunk out and started to sort of look a lot more like me, actually, strangely enough. Dude, it's hard to believe.
I love that face. That is the best face. When they start to like, you know, babies when they're new, they can't focus on anything. You know, they're just looking everywhere. Their eyes are just constantly moving. And when they learn to focus, they get awesome.
Yeah.
So much fun.
We're in that stage. There's been like, it really is a surprise because up until now I've kind of, it's been like very much like just do the thing, you know, change the diaper, play with them, talk to them, hang out with them a little bit. But it's only really recently, like literally this week, that he has started looking at me and laughing and smiling. Like he recognizes me and like wants to spend time with me, which is really fun. And I imagine that only gets better and better.
Dude, every day it gets better. Every day, and it lasts for a long time. That's the best part. Long time.
So you're the first guest. I mean, it's only 3 episodes so far, but you're the first guest that has adult kids. You have a 20-year-old and a 17-year-old, is that right?
Yeah, 20 and 18.
Close 20 enough. And 18. Yep. Okay. So you have gone through every stage of parenting and have entered like the I can allow this nest to empty stage if you really wanted to. And I wonder how you would rate yourself as a dad. Like, how would you put yourself? Would you give yourself a grading scale, you know, like A to F? What are we looking at here?
That's hard to do. It's really hard to do. It's a great question though, because I've never really thought of it in terms like that. I went into parenthood. You got to keep in mind, I got divorced when my kids were 3 and 5.
Oh, wow.
So I was essentially a single parent for the bulk of their life. Now, to give you a little backstory, I have amazing parents, like really terrific mom and dad in every capacity. And so I went into it with the mindset of like, I want to be the dad I had. or the mom I had, you know, both, you know, and they have a great mom. So that has nothing to do with their mother, but, you know, I wanted to be that person for them. So I've made sure over this, you know, 15 year period where it's been just me with them, that I've tried to be there for every event in their life. And I mean, everything, like all the dumb stuff that you're going to hate, soccer games, play practice, swim meets, like, you know, track meets, like anything they did, we did. And I've also always tried to be flexible enough to do the things that they wanted to do, even if I didn't really care about them. Meaning, like, we'll go on road trips and we'll be driving. They go, "Oh, can we stop?" And I'm like, "Sure, let's go. Let's stop." You know, and it's given us a lifetime of memories. So I don't know if I would grade myself, but I would tell you that I've given it 100%. You know, because you don't ever get that back ever. Like, you can't, you don't get a second chance with your kids. You just don't. And maybe you can get a second chance with them when they're adults, but you don't get those memories back if you miss them. And that was always my mindset, was like, I want to be able to look back and remember what they were like when they were 8 and 10, or, you know, 9 and 7, or whatever the ages were, and remember all those things that we did and create memories. And fortunately, I was able to do that. And we've created some ridiculous memories over the years. And it's really funny and fun now. Like, we went on a road trip this weekend, actually, or last weekend, went down to Columbus. My youngest had bought tickets for a concert, and so I dropped them off. And on the way down, we stopped at this place called Grandpa's Cheese Barn, which is in Asheville, Ohio. And it's this amazing place that we've stopped half a dozen times, where they sell chocolates and caramels and candies and cheese and you name it, you know. So it's like a dairy farm, you know. And we've been there a number of times because we've made that trip a bunch. And it's just like a memory that we have, and it's an amazing place, you know. And we, you know, went down to Columbus and had dinner together and went to their favorite restaurant. And these are just all memories we've created, and we continue to do those things. And it's, I don't know, I could talk about it for hours, but I just think as a parent, you have to do those things, because you know, it's the only thing you leave behind. Like, money's great, but you don't take it with you, you know. And I want them to be able to remember it. So,
where do
A plus? That's what I'm giving myself. Armor.
Well, you're getting, A plus. Yeah, we're getting through right now is A plus plus.
I wish.
Where did that come from? Where did that realization, did you have that realization before you had your kids, or was there a moment, like, you know, you were working a ton when they were really young and realized that things were starting to slip through your fingers and kind of made some changes there?
It came from my parents. So, anyone that has followed me or knows my journey has heard of old Roy, my dad, right? He's a CrossFitter now, and he's ridiculous. But growing up, he was clearly not a CrossFitter. He was a bass fisherman. He was a professional bass fisherman. He was always fishing these tournaments and part of these bass clubs is what they called them, and fishing tournaments all the time. Well, when I was a teenager, he would take me fishing with him constantly, and we would be on the lake all day, every weekend. And when I say all day, I mean, we're like, we're getting out of bed, dude, at like 3 in the morning. And driving for 2.5 hours, and we're on the water before the sun comes up, and we're fishing till the sun comes down. Like, it was ridiculous. And I didn't think anything of it. I was just a young kid, you know. And I think I was in college, maybe, or maybe I was, you know, a new adult, newly married. I was at home talking to my mom, and I was looking at all my dad's awards, and he's won more tournaments than I can count. And she's showing me, like, kind of his list of tournaments. And all the years he had won this club, you know, first or second place every year for years. And then there's this huge gap in between. There's like a 6-year gap where he didn't win anything. And I said to him, like, well, what the hell happened to dad? Like, he just went and everything, and then he doesn't win anything. And she goes, yeah, those are the years he quit to take you fishing.
What the fuck?
Right? Like, and it didn't even occur to me as a kid. You know, like you don't even think about those things as a young kid. You just think, well, this is what I'm doing. But he walked away from the thing he loved most, that he was best at, to spend time with me, you know? And so, you know, and it occurred to me then, it's
I
like,
got that, chills, that, dude. That wasn't, well, that's incredible.
It's true though. And, you know, that's the, you know, that's what you leave behind. You know, this is what your kids remember. This is what I remember. And so I wanted that for them, and I want, selfishly, I wanted it for me, you know, like I remember how great those times were with him. And, you know, keep in mind, I had a lot of great times with my mom too. So it's not like she wasn't around, but, you know, I wanted that for them and for me. And, you know, I feel like I got that and I'm still getting it. Like I, you know, you said, you know, I could be an empty nester. I don't want to be, like, if I could keep him here for another 10 years, I would, you know, it's a kind of a weird thing.
So I'm taking notes because you're bringing up a lot of really cool things here. And I want to touch on, your relationship with your kids, because it sounds like you've been very involved, really active, but at the same time, not necessarily like planning / controlling their decision making and their experience as much. Because, you know, you mentioned, oh, if they want to stop somewhere, like whether or not I'm interested in it, like, let's do it. Of course, let's experience that. So, you know, it sounds like you have a great relationship with your kids. What is your relationship with your kids like right now, like with your daughters? And, you know, were you actively forming something as they were growing up, or were you just like, you know what, let's just experience what we can as best we can, and however it shakes out, it shakes out?
Well, I think there's a balance. Like, we're not friends, you know, like I'm their dad, and we've had this relationship their whole life where I, you know, they're very polite and very well mannered. They're really great young women in every capacity. And, you know, I can only take credit for part of that. They have a great mom who's had a lot to do with that, obviously. But, you know, you shouldn't, or at least I've always believed you shouldn't be friends with your kids. So we've never been friends. I've always been both. Like, I want to be there with them, and I want to experience the things they want to experience. And, you know, I could probably tell you every episode of iCarly and Phineas and Ferb and every cartoon they've ever watched and everything they've ever been into, like I've been a part of. But by the same token, I'm also the person telling them to go clean their room. And when they don't clean their room, I take their toys away from them, you know? And so you have to be able to strike that balance of them understanding that you're still the one responsible for them and keeping them safe and teaching them who they need to be. You know, but you also want them to make their own choices and be who they are. You know, my two are really opposite. Now they're best friends, but they're so different. You know, my youngest is like really buttoned up and getting ready for college and, you know, good grades and, you know, all the, you know, newest fashion and all that. My oldest has blue hair and could care less about school and could tell you every anime ever created and plays video games till 4 a.m. You know, it's like, they're just polar opposites, but they're both terrific at who and what they are, you know? And I think you just have to respect them for that and not try to get them to be what you want them to be. You need to let them be who they want to be, and they will find that. And I think I've started to find that they both have some of my traits. They both have some of their mother's traits, and they really have a lot of their own traits, which is the amazing part to me, is like learning who they've become as adults. And that's the best part for me, is figuring out, you know, I created this, but it's become something that I never imagined it would become, you know?
Where's that line? Where's that line between, being, you know, an effective parent and the type of parent that you want to be in order to raise the type of kids that you want to raise, and the friend line, like being crossed, almost like sacrificing the priority of, you know, raising your kids the way you want them to be raised and being a parent
and, you know, leaning a little bit too far into that, that friendly line. Have you encountered that? Have you seen that? Have you, has that happened to you, or have you been good at sort of finding and keeping those boundaries the way they need to be kept?
It's hard. I'd be lying if I said I've always kept those boundaries perfect. You know, there's certainly times where I've probably been far too casual with them. And then, you know, the opposite of that could be true too. At times, I think you always want, for me, it's always about making sure that, you know, they are understanding the decisions they are making are their own. And there's ramifications for those decisions, obviously. You know, growing up, for, you know, young kids, it's usually homework and, you know, not cleaning your room and dumb things like that. As they get older, you want to make sure they really understand what's going on. Like, I've always tried to find the moments in their life that I knew they would remember and really lean in on that. Like, I remember distinctly once when my girls were really young, they were in middle school, and some girl, a young girl in middle school, had taken some nude photos of herself and sent it to some boys. And these boys started sharing it. These are middle school students, dude. So you keep in mind, these are young kids. And, you know, at that age, it's considered child porn. So these young boys had gotten picked up by the cops for it, you know, and they're all the same age. So it wasn't like a porn ring, you know.
Right.
But these are kids doing dumb things. And so, you know, I had to sit my two kids down in middle school and talk to them about what happens when you take nudie shots of yourself. Like, you can't take that back, you know, and what does that mean for these other kids? And, you know, what are the ramifications of that? And then you have the tough conversations, you know, start asking, like, why do you think this young girl did this? You know, and, you know, my youngest looks at me and goes, I don't know, daddy, she's a hoe. You know, that's exactly what she said to me, you know?
I like how you remember this. Like, it's like seared into your mind.
Yeah. Well, you know, you just don't expect to hear that stuff, you know? So, yeah. I think you just have to lean in on those moments and just make sure that you're making an impression so they remember it. And they do, you know? I feel like I'm kind of constantly coaching and teaching. It's not that different than what we do at the gym. Like, you just, you know, life happens and you have to explain what's going on around you. You know, like, you're going downtown, you have to explain to young people, hey, this isn't the safest place to be. You know, you should make sure you're looking around. Don't take drinks from strangers. Like, you know, we just take for granted that stuff at our age, or at least at my age, but, you know, someone has to teach you that. And so I've always made it a point to, you know, make sure I've, you know, explain that as the best I could.
Do you have any siblings?
Yeah, I have two sisters, one older, one younger.
So did your relationship with your dad, as well as how you saw him raising your sisters, color your role as a father to two daughters?
I don't think so. I mean, my oldest sister was gone before I can even remember. She was only 4 years older, but she skipped a grade in school. So she was 5 years ahead and was like off to college and married before I even can, you know, I don't have a lot of memories of being around her. My younger sister and I were together pretty often, but we ran in different circles. So I don't remember a lot of that. For me, I just kind of always went into it that, you know, being a girl dad's not that different than being a boy dad. You know, like, for me, the values and the things you need to teach them are no different. You know, I'm not one of those guys that's going to go, okay, well, if you look at my daughter cross-eyed, I'm going to beat you up. Like, I'm going to teach my daughter to be a good human and expect her to manage you. And if you're a jerk, well, she'll tell you you're a jerk. And for the record, that's worked out for me. Like, they have really keen insights to people. I don't worry at all about boys mistreating them, because I know both of them will be like, you know, get to the curb, jerk. Like, you know, you're not who I expect. I've kind of always had the mindset, like, as a girl dad, that I want to be the guy that they want to be, that they would want to be with, you know, and anyone less than that, they're not going to deal with. You know, so like they have a good sense of right and wrong. And it would have been truthfully no different had I had boys. So I didn't, you know, I don't feel like my dad or my mom colored that for me. I think that was just, you know, you raise your kid, boy or girl, to be the best person they can be. And truthfully, you got to hope for the best, because, you know, it's still a crapshoot. It really is. Like, you know, kids are going to make, it doesn't matter how good a parent you are, kids are going to make their own decisions. And, you know, you just got to do the best you can.
The common thread that I've seen so far in speaking with you, you know, in the past like half hour or whatever, and with, you know, Vellner and Travis Mayer, is this idea that, like, as you have a kid, not so much with Pat, because his kid's so young at this point, same thing with me. It hasn't really quite happened for me yet, but as your kids get older and they start developing their own interests and they start developing their own autonomy, it feels like a parent's role almost requires them to, like, develop a zen-like distance from the outcome of decisions, right? In a way, because you can't control, you want the best for your kid, but the best for your kid requires you not to enforce the best for your kid in a way. Does that make sense?
No, it makes sense. I heard once, the girls are really little, and I don't know if it's a book I was reading or, you know, something I'd heard on TV, that a child's morals and, like, the decisions they're going to make in life are fully formed by the time they're like 4 or 5. Think about that. Like, your kids already figured out who they're going to be by the time they're 4 or 5. And I don't know if I believe that to be completely true, but I always took that to heart, that even the youngest kid is noticing what you're doing. You know, they know who you are. They know how you act at night. They know how you treat them. They see how you treat others, you know, waiters or, you know, servers or, you know, people in retail or whoever you come in contact with. And I do think they become that. You know, they certainly learn from that. Like, I think I'm a good blend of my parents. They're wildly different in a lot of ways, you know, and, you know, it didn't have anything to do with how much time we spent at church or didn't spend at church or whatever. It's just, you pick up on how people treat others and you start to kind of evolve that way and you learn from them, you know, and I always try to treat my relationship with them like that. I wanted them to see in me what I wanted them to be for others. And again, totally not perfect at it. Tons of mistakes along the way, but you know, I think they turned out pretty good.
It seems like the mistakes are also a part of the process.
Yeah. As long as you're willing to, you know, let them know you're human. I mean, I also, that was kind of my other philosophy with them, is that I was never going to try to be something I wasn't. You know, I think they've seen my mistakes along the way. And, you know, for me, it was always about, are we going to have fun? Are we going to laugh? Are we going to enjoy each other's company? Or, you know, are they going to view me as someone they could trust? Like, that's probably the biggest thing. Like, are they going to, or trust to, you know, talk to me about issues? Or are they going to, you know, be fearful? Like, I was fearful of my dad in a lot of ways. That's not a bad thing always. It's just like, you know, it's kind of like, I was a kid of the 70s and 80s. Well, just wait till your dad gets home, you know? And I never wanted that for mine. I always wanted them to, you know, be able to tell me what was going on with, you know, boyfriends or, you know, school or whatever. And, you know, it's never been perfect, but, you know, it's just something you work on.
How, we're going to jump a little bit here, because we've been talking a lot about your relationship with your kids. We talk a lot about how, you know, you raise them, and you know, a lot of that has been general, but I think there's been a lot of really good stuff there. But I'm curious, in that entire process, how did you, as like a, both a single parent and a parent to two kids, how did you prioritize time for yourself? How did you not lose John Woolley in this process of raising two daughters?
I did for a while, if I'm being honest. You know, there were a number of years where I focused on nothing but them, and CrossFit helped me with that. And I know this isn't a CrossFit podcast, but like, becoming a part of a community helped me, like, kind of come out of that to some degree and create, you know, get friendships and, you know, how that goes. You do things outside of the gym and, you know, texting and whatever. So that helped. But there was a long period of time where for me, I was really just focused on them. And that was intentional, You know, I didn't want to be that dad that brought a different woman home every month or every week, or, you know, and so I don't think they met a single person I dated for, gosh, 6 or 7 years. Maybe it was a long time, because I just didn't want to be that guy. Like, I didn't want them to look back on my life and go, oh yeah, daddy had a, you know, a harem of women coming in and out of here. Not that I had the ability to do that, for the record, but had I had that ability, I didn't want that. And so, yeah, I don't know. I think CrossFit helped me with that some. And, you know, I have some other hobbies that, you know, I started picking up as I would get some free time. You know, being divorced, you get a lot of free time kind of in between. So I would, you know, try to focus on those things. The biggest thing for me was, is when they were with me, they got 100% of my attention. I've said that many times, that divorced dads, if you do it right, are better dads than married dads. And that's no offense to married dads. It's just like, a married dad gets your kids' attention 50% of the time at best. A divorced dad gets it 100% of the time, 50% of the time.
There's more intensity. There's a higher intensity to the attention.
I'm the one, when they're little, I was one bathing them, putting them to bed. We have this running joke that, you know, when they're little, I'd be on the couch and all I'd hear is, daddy, come wipe me. And I have to come wipe a butt, you know, like, and you know, that's what it's like. And so you have 100% of their attention, and it's a far different experience. If you are into it, if you really take it seriously, it's incredibly rewarding.
Where did your, I mean, maybe that's just too much of an assumption. I was about to ask, where did your desire to have kids even come from? But I'm curious, like, did you know you wanted kids, or did you guys just start having kids and then you realized that this was something that you wanted to do?
No, I wanted kids. I was a musician. Like, when I went to college, I wanted to be a singer-songwriter, wanted to be a musician, and, you know, do that whole travel thing. And at some point I realized, I'm like, that's not what I'm wired to do. Like, I want to be a dad. I want kids. I want a legacy. I don't want to be on the road 300 days out of the year and, you know, performing or doing whatever. So I knew I did. And then when I got married, you know, it's obviously something we had talked about, and, it was important to me. You know, there aren't many things you get in life. Like, money doesn't mean much to me. Things don't mean much to me. Like, I have a lot of things and I like them, but you could take them away tomorrow and it's not really going to change my day to day. You know, but kids change your day to day. They change your viewpoint on everything. And, you know, like, I'm at the stage of my life now where I'm like trying to figure out what's next, because they're both close to leaving, you know, and then you start thinking about, man, I'm like, how often am I going to see them? Like, what are we going to do at Christmas? What are we going to do the holidays? And you know, it's very, very bittersweet. So yeah, I always wanted them and wouldn't do it different.
What are some of the biggest ways that you have changed through your kids, like, since having them, since experiencing them growing up? You know, do you remember some of these, like, phases of things that you were just completely 180 degrees on before or during, and since then the things have changed?
I don't know if I'm wildly different. I think I'm still very childlike because of them. I mean, bluntly, they're the reason I've got this stupid meme page. You know, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be doing that. Like, they've kept me very young, you know, and maybe that's a result of being a single dad and not having somebody dragging me off to, you know, apple pickings on the weekends and looking at furniture and stuff. But, you know, I spend a lot of time with them and looking at the things that they like and that they do. And so it does keep me very young at heart. You know, like, I've got one that's a gamer and she's really into anime, and she and I were up last night talking about this new Star Wars Vision series that's out on Disney and how cool that is. And we have that in common, you know, and I would imagine if I were still married and in kind of a different stage of my life, I would probably be more mature for whatever that's worth. But so in that aspect, I think they've kept me very young, and at the same time, they've kept me very grounded, because it forces you to think beyond yourself, right? Like, you know, I got one about to go off to college. And so kind of everything I'm thinking about right now is like, how am I going to pay for that? You know, and where's she going to go? Like, you know, how far away is it going to be? How am I going to get to see her? Is it going to be on the weekend? So I have to go there. Like, you know, it just keeps you very grounded in your decisions and what you're doing with your life.
Can we talk a little bit about the, your marriage, divorce, and how you handle that with the kids?
Sure.
So what was the, if you don't mind me asking, what was the reason why you guys ended up getting a divorce?
You know what? They just, sometimes they just don't work out. Like, that's just, I think that's the gist of it, that, I don't know. It's been a long time, dude. Like, it's kind of hard to even put it in words at this point. I probably could have told you better 15 years ago than today. You know, in those days it was very bitter, but now it's like, you know, I go over there and spend Thanksgiving with her and her new husband and the girls. Like, Megan's, my youngest, has her birthday in a week, and I'll go there for the birthday and they'll all be there and the family will be there. I don't even think about it anymore, you know? Yeah, but sometimes they just don't work out. You know, I think when you're young, you get married for a lot of different reasons. You haven't really figured out who you are yet. And looking back on it, I'm convinced I had no idea who I was yet. You know, it's the age old boys and girls are different, you know, mature at different speeds. And, you know, I blame myself more than I blame her for whatever that's worth.
So how did you guys handle that? How did you handle that as a dad with your kids? I mean, you said they were 3 and 5, so they're pretty young, but they're like present. They're present and impressionable at that age.
It's tough, dude. It was really tough. You know, you get all the questions you see in Lifetime movies. Daddy, why aren't you guys together? Daddy, I wish you and mom were living together. Like, you know, you hear all of that, and you know, you just kind of work through it one at a time. You know, probably in the early stages, I would tell you probably the best thing to happen divorce these days is text messaging, because you don't have to talk as much, you know. For my girls, it's always been, you know, mommy and daddy both love you equally. Like, you know, I love you. Your mom loves you. You have a great mom. Like, I've always made a point to not be the one that's going to badmouth the other parent. And for the record, she's been the same way. Like, I don't ever feel like she ever sat over there and told the girls that I was a big bag of crap, you know. For me, that was always important. And the other part that was important was keeping a unified front. So if she was going to punish them for something, I was going to do the same thing, you know, and that's really important. You know, we certainly have different viewpoints on life, and we manage our households differently in a lot of different ways. And, you know, it's become probably even more evident to us as the girls have gotten older. But, you know, I think the more that you stay together on the things that are really critical for them, the better they turn out. And they understand that, you know, they can't play mom against dad. You know, now, you know, you can have your own rules for your own house, though. That's cool. You know, like, we probably watched a lot more cartoons here than they did at their mom's house. That makes sense. You know, played a lot more video games, did a lot more dumb stuff. You know, I'm certainly less strict when it comes to who's washing dishes and that sort of thing. So,
you know, one of the things that I imagine would be just a challenge in general when raising kids is balancing out your mind and your viewpoint of how to prioritize things with your kids and what things deserve, what types of, you know, either repercussions or encouragement, with your partner's ideas and desires in that realm. And I'm curious, do you think that's easier or harder as a divorce, like single dad, you know, trying to balance that out with your ex-wife?
Well, I'm not sure if it's easier or harder. You just have to be thoughtful about it. You know, because we certainly don't agree on everything. And I think you have to pick your battles. You figure out the things that really matter, you know, particularly in the long term for the kid. You know, it's like your ex is going to put your kids to bed at a certain time. That's not a battle you need to fight with them. Like, they're never going to know what time you put the kid to bed necessarily, unless you're like 6 hours later, you know? You know, like I just remember distinctly when the girls were little, we take this trip to Mississippi to see my parents every year. We go a couple of times a year and it's a 13-hour drive. And the girls have always been really good at it. And, you know, the ex would text me, you know, we'd have like 2 hours left in the drive and it'd be late in the day. And she'd be like, hey, don't feed the girls. Don't let them go to sleep. Because she'd want them to go to bed at a normal hour and she would want to feed them dinner when they got home, you know. And there'd be some trips where I'd be like, okay, no, you know, I'll make sure that happens. And they'd fall asleep anyway, and I'm not going to wake them up. Or there'd be trips where I'm like handing them pixie sticks and Red Bulls and going, hey, have it, you know, just don't tell your mom, you know. And there'd be other trips when I'm doing exactly what she said. You know, you find the battles to fight and figure it out. And truthfully, like those aren't the things that matter for the kids long term, because they're not, you know, they never look at here's what mom told me, here's what dad told me, for the most part, especially in like those kind of scenarios. That you just want them to turn out to be good kids and make their own choices, and you know, they'll end up different than you think they're going to end up anyway, you know. So I've never really fought those battles, and you know, I'm also one of those people that are like, it's not worth it. It's not worth the mental anguish and the anxiety of fighting with someone over someone that's not even going to be in the room with you when you're delivering that message anyway. So you just have to balance it out. It's hard. I'd be lying if I said it wasn't hard.
Sure.
But, you know, you just have to pick and choose.
It honestly doesn't sound much different than actually continuing to be married. Like it really doesn't sound like
it's not.
It's that much different. In a strange way, you know, the role of that relationship, right? Because like there's the relationship of the parents, regardless of whether they're married or not, but the relationship of the parents takes up some energy of each of the parents, and in some ways takes up some of the energy of the kids. And like when you both stay engaged with like that common link, the kids, you don't really let go in a strange way, right? Like I think we both would be able to say that we know people who've been divorced and just don't interact with their exes in any way. Like it's just not a relationship that exists anymore, but you don't really have that option because it was a priority for both of you to raise your kids. So it's almost not like a complete divorce. I don't know. It might be a strange thing to point out. Like I don't, you know, my wife and I are still married. We're happily married. We're doing great. My parents are still married. You know, in my circle, marriages have had staying power. So whether that's because people just like grit their teeth and make it through, and it's just like culturally not a thing to get divorced, or whether or not they just find the right partners. But the types of things that you're describing sound like and are familiar to, I think, people who are married. It just sounds like the types of conversations you still have with your husband and wife.
Yeah, I think it is similar in a lot of ways. I think that if there's a benefit to divorce is you can give your kids experiences they wouldn't have otherwise, and they still get a lot of the same experiences they would have had if you're willing to work with your ex-partner on that. So like, from day one, almost from the time we got divorced, I was still coming to Thanksgiving dinners and Christmas. And like, I, you know, Laura would invite me over for Christmas morning, and I'd be there when the girls came down to open their Christmas presents, and we would buy gifts together for them, you know. And that, maybe that's unique, I don't know, but you know, we always tried to do that. And, you know, kudos to her for being willing to do that, you know, and for offering to do it. So, you know, it certainly takes two. It isn't just me. So I think, you know, they got a lot of the same experiences that their friends who had, you know, married parents. And then the flip side of that is they had plenty of experiences where it's just the three of us going to Disney World, you know, or Six Flags or whatever crazy thing I had planned for the weekend, you know. And so we have a lot of special memories that are just our own, and they have a lot of special memories with their mom that are just their own. And I think that's really cool. Yeah.
Did you find it difficult to balance your professional life along with being a dad, or was it kind of, because you talked a little bit about, you know, when you're with your daughters, you're like, you're 100% there. So in a way that almost the flip side also applies, when you're not with them, you're focused and present with the thing that you're attached to. And I think for a lot of people, especially men, our jobs, our careers, you know, the thing that we spend all of our time doing and thinking about outside of our relationships and our kids, tends to be that thing. So did you find it easier, or did you find it more challenging to actually find a balance between your professional life and your life as a dad?
I don't know if it was easier or harder. I would tell you my professional life skyrocketed after I got divorced. It just got better. I don't know if that was just timing of the age I was at and where I was in my career, but I started to climb the corporate ladder, quote unquote, around that time. I've always made it a point to be there for the special moments in their life, you know, so like leave work early to go to play practice or soccer games or whatever, and to make sure I'm taking time off for that. But it's also given me incredible focus when I'm at work to make sure I'm successful at that job, because I'm, you know, there's nothing to fall back on. If I lose my job, I'm the only one losing it. Like, there's no spouse that's working, you know, it's just me. And so it's certainly giving me maybe a different mindset as to my planning isn't just for me anymore. It's for someone else. You know, like, I honestly don't give myself a lot of thought when I think of the future. Like, I'm weird that way. I don't think about my own retirement, you know, my own, you know, how much money I'm putting aside for myself. I do that. Like, I'm a banker, so I'm not dumb, but you know, I think more about where are they going to be? What's their college? Like, what's the next step in their life? Where are they going to need money? Those are the things I worry about. And so when I'm working, I tend to be really focused on it. I don't know if that's, because I'm a dad or just how I'm wired. I think it's a little of both.
Yeah. You kind of have to, you know, that is something that, I don't know, like, come to terms is not the right phrase. It's been highlighted. Yeah. It's definitely been highlighted. This idea, like, I have this little tiny human being. I'm very lucky that, you know, my wife is, she can work, but we've made it a priority for both of us and for our son that she's raising our son full time. Because, you know, maybe if we have more kids and blah, 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 whatever, both of us grew up with a stay-at-home mom and we both want that for our kids. And there's definitely a certain, it's pressure isn't the right word, because like that almost makes it sound negative, but there's like a certain like realization that you have a responsibility to live up to taking care of this new life. And in a way, financially is the major way that as a dad you can contribute, especially early on. I think being present, you know, being a part of their lives, you know, being a parent obviously is important, but, you know, in terms of their future, their success, their overall quality of life, like financially seems to be the thing that dads are there for, you know? So.
Well, it's become a running joke around here. Like, I tell my girls all the time, you guys are going to go to college and tell your friends I'm paying for your college through memes, you know, and it's become a joke. But the truth is like, I put so much work into this stupid meme page and two podcasts because it's going to pay for college for my kids, you know? And it's not that I don't love it. I mean, I love it and I love giving back to people, and the things that it's offered me is, you know, been really amazing, but ultimately, yeah, it's going to pay for somebody's college. And that's a really cool thing, you know, and
the most 21st century thing ever. My dad's page paid for my college.
Well, but that's how you get wired as a parent. Like, you start thinking about, like, you see opportunities and you don't think, all right, this is a great opportunity to be an influencer or whatever, you know, goofy people think when they get into social media. You look at it and go, huh, I can pay for a semester's worth of college for this. I can buy my oldest a car, you know, like, you start thinking about that stuff. And you know, it's just, it's a much different mindset. It's the benefit of being old, you know?
My brother, I remember, I was not that much older than me. I have two older brothers. My middle brother is 6 years older and my oldest brother is 8 years older. And my middle brother, he says this thing all the time and drives me crazy. It drove me crazy like 10 years ago when he first said it, and it drives me crazy now, because remember, by the way, he's only 6 years older than me, so he's not even right. older. And he says youth is wasted on the young, and I was like, dude, you're not even, the first time he told me he was like 28. I was like, you're right. not even 30. Like, first of all, get out of here with youth is wasted on the young. But he's been saying that thing. He's been saying that constantly. And part of me now thinks he's been saying it in order to almost remind himself of like the advantages and opportunities that right. he has available to him right now. But hearing him say that to me, and kind of hearing what you're describing here, is this idea of like, oh, you start looking at things as like an opportunity to check this box of like, I want to be able to take care of this role that I've set for myself. And it's real. It is real. And I'm thinking about how I approach things now, just even over the past like 2 or 3 months, because my wife was pregnant for like 10 months, but it didn't feel real. And it doesn't feel real, at least for me as a dad, until not even like when I held him for the first time, seeing him be born, that wasn't even the moment. Like, that was fantastic. That was beautiful. But I feel like it's only the past like month or two where I've been taking care of him and being in the process of seeing him like actually emerge as a human being, and not just this kind of like pooping, crying diaper monster that I have to take care of in the middle of the night. It's just that like process has really enlightened me to, here's the things that I really need to be able to take care of in order to live up to my standard. Cause he doesn't have any standards for me yet. He's 2 months old.
Right.
As long as I'm like, you know, making funny faces and like talking to him on a regular basis, he loves it. That's all he wants from me. But I'm thinking of 10 years from now, 20 years from now, you know, I'm thinking about his school and thinking about his, you know, him being a socially competent human being and not being a douchebag, and like, you know, like all these things. Like, I don't really have as much control over it, I think, as I want, but I also feel that there's like a responsibility there that I have to live up to. And I keep thinking about that youth is wasted on the young thing. Like, what could I have done 10 years ago to have set up for this better? I don't know.
Parenthood will make you make choices you never thought you would make. Like, this is a weird example, but as a young person, my brother-in-law is a pilot and he builds airplanes. And as a young person, if he had said to me, hey, John, come jump in this airplane I just built, let's go fly around, I'd be like, okay, let's go. The person I am now, I'd be like, my insurance doesn't cover it. It would. Like, I would think, I literally would think if you crash your plane and I get killed, my kids don't get life insurance. You know, and you don't think about that. And so that's where it is wasted on the young. Like, young people don't think about that stuff, you know, and as you get older, you think about it. It's like, you know, I don't want to die young, or even at the age I'm at, but you know, if something happened to me, I take a lot of comfort in knowing my kids would get a lot of insurance. And I don't even tell them how much it is, because I don't want them to off me in my sleep.
You know? You can't incentivize it.
Yeah, I don't want them to know. Like, they don't even know how much money it is. You know, it's just one of those things. So it just makes you make weird decisions, you know, and I think you always do. And it never ends up how you think it's going to. You know, the kids change a dozen times from the time they're your kid's age and my kid's age. You know, mine are so different now than they were even 5 years ago. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I heard this stat. And I mean, someone will fact check it. I'm not going to fact check it. but I heard the stat and it really gave me a moment of like pause and kind of made me sad. But now, as like someone who's entering into parenthood, it feels a little bit different. I'm seeing the other side of the coin. The stat is essentially that you've spent, by the time you graduate high school, you've spent, you know, 90% of the time you'll spend with your parents in your entire life. And that is a really sobering thing to think about. You know, I thought about, and I heard this while I was living in Austin, you know, away from my parents, who I'd like grown up with and lived, you know, with either with someone in my family or right next to them for, you know, my entire adult life until I moved away. So, you know, there's this sobering factor to that. And now the opposite side of the coin is like looming in the distance for me. And in a way, you're looking at it like you're staring down that tunnel of, you know, you've done the vast majority of the work that you're going to do as a parent. You've already done that work. You've spent that time and you've enjoyed that and set that up for whatever successes and failures are coming down the pipeline. And I'm curious how you view your role as a dad now versus how your role as a dad was, you know, 5, 10, 15 years ago.
Are you trying to make me cry? Is that your goal?
It's embarrassing how emotional I got when I first heard that stat. And actually, you know what? It's not embarrassing. I'm not embarrassed by that at all. It really was a moment that kind of changed how I have a perspective on certain things, just reading that. And I don't even know if it's true. It sounds true because it's around the time when kids start like really having their own lives. You're not controlling their lives very much. You're not controlling their schedules. They're not going to the same place, you know, within an easy drive of where you live in for high school. Like, you know, that sounds true. So
I moved away from home when I was 19. I've been home 2 to 3 times a year for less than a week every year since then. So you do the math, like, you know, so between the time I was 0 and 19, I was there 7 days a week. Now I'm there 21 days a year at the most. These days I'm there 7 to 10 times days a year. So yeah, you're trying to get me to cry. Thanks a lot, Armin. Thanks a lot. It's hard. Like I don't think about it much because it's hard to think about. You know, all I think about is like, you should be there when you need to be there. You should be there for family. You should be there for births and deaths and weddings and parties and emotional needs. And that's my plan. It's like, if one of my girls called me and said, "Hey, I need you to be there," I'll be there. You know, like my youngest this week was doing this homecoming stuff. And I said, "Do you need me to be there? Tell me, I'll be there. I'll work it out. I'll move stuff around. I'll be there," you know? And I think that's what you need to do. And so that's the way I'm viewing my future role is like, do I, you know, if I need to be there, I will absolutely be there. If I don't, I won't, you know, like, and that's all you can do. Otherwise you'll drive yourself crazy thinking about the things you're missing and not. And, you know, I'm looking kind of at the new state of my life now going, all right, well, what's next? Like, what am I going to focus on? You know, is it going to be CrossFit? Is it going to be guitar? Is it going to be work? Like, you know, what's next for me? And I'll figure that out like everybody else. You know, you find things to do and you just stay in contact and, you know, make sure they know you love them and stay busy. It's all you can do.
Do you have a favorite movie or TV show that encapsulates like the role of a dad to you?
Oh yeah. How I Met Your Mother. That's everyone's favorite, right? Let's see. my youngest is like walking upstairs, rolling her eyes at me for saying that, 'cause that's one of her favorite shows. I don't know. I don't watch a lot of those types of shows. That is a favorite show of mine for what it's worth. Mostly because it's just really funny. I don't know if I have one that's like a favorite dad type show. You know, I'm a nerd, dude. I watch Marvel movies and, you know, WandaVision and that sort of thing. So,
you know, I recently rewatched because Katie had never seen the entire MCU. So we recently, you know, when you have like a 2 month old, there's a lot, you have a lot of time on your hands between feedings and during feedings, et cetera. And so we rewatched the entire MCU. We watched all the movies.
Right.
And I was really, really impressed by the sort of full circle that a lot of the stories took place. And many of these superheroes have these like relationships with their dads. That was really, really interesting. Like, you know, obviously the obvious one is Tony and his dad. There's also Black Panther, T'Challa, and his dad. And they set that relationship up in like two sentences, and it's incredible. They do an incredible job of setting that relationship up. But there's also, you know, there's obviously Gamora and Thanos, and you know, there's a lot of really interesting sort of things that you can see in these relationships, like father and future superhero or current superhero. So yeah, I've been thinking about that a lot recently, about dads in movies or dads in TV shows, dads in video games. I mean, it's like, these are all things that I spend a lot of time looking at and thinking at. And I think that's something that I'm very curious what other people think. And it's good. It's interesting to hear that, like, you know, you're a nerd, you've got that side of things in you, but you haven't really looked to how the role of a father is portrayed, or you don't have like a gold standard of how the role of father is portrayed in media.
Yeah, I don't. So like when I think of the MCU, I think of Aunt May and Peter Parker.
Sure.
You know, like I don't think of dad and kid, you know, I just think of the relationship, like someone you trust, you know, and there are plenty, like I do love that relationship between T'Challa and his father. Like, I think that's a really kind of a beautiful storyline when you look at it. You know, for me, it's always been, I treat both of my girls differently. Like me and the youngest, we sit around and watch TV together all the time. And we watch Survivor. We love it. Love Survivor. It's so good. And, you know, those are special times. You sit around and you watch it and you talk about these characters and the personal dynamics that go on, and you kind of get to know what's going on in their life. And then me and the oldest are different. We watch cartoons together, or, you know, anime is a, you know, kind of a big thing that she's into, or gaming, you know, and we talk about those things. And those things are important. I think the common thread here is it's just you have to find time to spend with them in whatever activity they like, and then listen. And that's where you really learn. And particularly if you have more than one, like, you know, get my two together, they start just talking. That's where I've always learned, like, what's going on in their lives, because they're talking to each other, you know, and I'm just in the room as a silent observer. And you really learn what's going on in all the relationships. And it's really cool. You know, that's how you get to know people.
Did you, I know we've been talking for a while here, so I'm going to start wrapping this up, but I'm curious, you know, the world we live in right now, 2021, is very, very different than the world, you know, your kids grew up in. Like, things have accelerated, and it's a night and day difference than the world that I grew up in. And it's an even crazier difference than the world that you grew up in. So the acceleration of technology, relationships, you know, communication, et cetera, has been exponential over that time. And I'm curious, your sort of, like, you know, you're a lifelong learner, musician guy, you know, professional coach in CrossFit, living the CrossFit life. You've been involved in a lot of different communities. You understand this thing. Did you have other dads that you communicated with as your kids were growing up, like a support circle of dads? Did you have people that you learned from and spoke to and looked up to in person?
Well, so that's funny. So when I started CrossFit, which would have been 2011, is that right? 2010, 2011, something like that. It's been a decade. All my friends who are still my friends have daughters the exact same age as mine. They all have girls. Like, nobody has a boy. No one has a boy. I don't know what's up with that. Like, so yeah, all my friends have girls. And so that I've been really fortunate in that regard, that all my CrossFitter friends have daughters, you know, in the same school system and, or, you know, close school systems anyway. And so we've kind of all gone through the same stuff over that time frame. And, you know, I think that's probably why I've been such a big proponent of CrossFit, like that community. And CrossFit for me is no different than, you know, a church or a synagogue or like whatever community you're a part of. I think you have to find people that you have like interests with that you can talk about those things. And that's what has been really fortunate for me. Even the casual conversations are important, you know, of just, you know, they'll just offhandedly say, oh, here's something I'm going, you know, I'll give you an example. This, one of my best friends, his kids are going off to different schools and one's going out of state. And he's just telling me about the experiences of that, you know, and it's giving me insight as to what that will be like for me if one of my kids goes out of state, you know, and he has another one that's in state. And, you know, I'm learning how often he's out of town for that and what dropping your kid off for college is like. And I think those things are important to understand to help you get through it. Cause there's nothing worse than just going in blind to something, you know, and getting firsthand accounts is important. So I've been really lucky, and it is truly luck, to have a lot of friends, but I think that's the beauty of our community is that, you know, you can almost always find somebody that's dealing with it.
That's the entire point of this podcast for me. I mean, I am going into being a dad blind. Like, I, you know, I'm an uncle, my brothers have kids, and I'm a son. I have a relationship with my dad, but it's very different than, you know, being a dad myself. And, yeah, I'm a learner. I learn by doing, but at the same time, I'm definitely going to try and take, as many examples as I can from other people and figure it out based off of what they've learned and done and succeeded at and failed at before me. And I think that's really what this is about for me, at least being able to talk to other dads who've been through a lot of different scenarios, both similar and different than mine, and try and piece together an example in my mind of what certain scenarios could look like. And I think it'll help not just me, but hopefully people who are watching and listening too.
Dude, I tell all new parents the same thing. This would be the advice I'd give to all of them is kids think you're a genius, straight up genius, until they're like between 10 and 12. And this is a true story. I remember as long as I live, I'll remember this. Both my girls thought I was as smart as the day is long. And then I want to say it was Megan who's here listening to this across the room somewhere. You know, they do geometry these days in like fifth grade. Yeah. Like in like fifth grade, you know, so she would have been like 10, 8 or 10, you know, somewhere in there. And she's like, hey, daddy, I need help with my homework. I'm like, sure. No, I got this. I got this, you know, and
that bean.
Yeah, it's Bean's tail. Sorry. So I'm like, I got this. So she's like, here's the homework question. She gives, I'm like, all right, well, give me a second. I've got to do something. And I grab my phone, like I'm texting, and she looks at me with, and goes, are you Googling this? And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, no, of course not.
Red-handed.
Yeah. And that was the moment you could just see. You could see the reality set in that my dad's a dumbass and can't solve fifth grade geometry. You know, that's what happens. Oh, no. You know? It's true though. Like that's what, you know, kids think you're a genius until they figure out you're not. And then you got to start working on it. So you got a good 10 years to before you got to do anything.
All right. So I got to brush up on my trigonometry and my algebra.
Oh dude. By the time your kids in middle school, they'll absolutely be doing like advanced science and math and.
Yeah, the commute to and from Mars is going to be really rough, but I think we're going to make it work.
Yeah, that's true though. Like kids, and you know, eventually they come back. You know, they get a few years there where they think you're an idiot, and then they come back and they think, all right, you're not so bad. You know, so that's my advice to you.
That sounds like the single best advice I've gotten. So you actually to put the sort of like humorous like. That side aside, you actually did give me very good advice. I was on your podcast with you and Nikki actually when Katie was pregnant. Nikki was pregnant at the time too, but she hadn't told anybody. No. And the advice you gave me was don't listen to anybody trying to tell you how to raise a baby, how to like keep a baby going. That's not very difficult. And you know, trust your instinct into how you're going to be doing those things. And the only research that you suggested that I do was research into just postpartum, what that feels like for a dad, what that feels like for the mom, and how to sort of support, you know, the entire system through that. And that has been really great advice. you know, that was really, really good advice. You know, I'm sure Katie has some, you know, things that I'm not aware of that's going on, or like I'm not maybe helping in the best way for her, but she does definitely know that I'm trying really, really hard to be there as like a support person for her and for our son through this entire like early process of us figuring this out. And you know, I think hearing that from you of like, you know, don't listen to people, you know, there's going to be a different opinion from every single person that gives you something. They're all going to be contradictory, but you know, if you're going to look into one thing, look into how to be a good support for a new mom. And yeah, that's been great advice. I really appreciate that.
Dude, postpartum is so hard. So hard. I said on our podcast last night, the one I do with Ben now, not with Nikki, that the only thing harder than postpartum is when you get a hand tear doing pull-ups. That's way harder. But everything else, postpartum is the hardest thing for us. So hard.
I believe you. I believe you. I mean, you know, I don't tear very often anymore, what with the not doing kipping pull-ups and stuff. But yeah.
Postpartum is hard, dude. That is like looking back on my own marriage and like things I could have done better as a young man. I wish somebody had pulled me aside and said, hey, bro, the 90 to 100 days, you know, 180 days after that baby is born are going to be brutal on your wife. Yeah. I wish somebody had done that, because that is true. Like, that is the hardest time. And poor Nikki, we've talked about it on the podcast over and over and over. It has been so hard on her. And nothing I can do but pray for Matt, you know, and hope they get through it. You know.
Yeah. Well, John, I appreciate your time, man. It's been really good talking to you. And I love hearing your stories. I love that you were very open and honest. And it's been super dope, dude. Thank you so much.
Anytime, bro. Anytime.